This is a new special episode of the podcast AI Unraveled. It's created and produced by Etienne Newman, senior engineer and passionate soccer dad from Canada. Just a reminder, please do like and subscribe over at Apple if you enjoy what you hear.
Absolutely.
And this episode, it's a special one focusing entirely on the AWS AI Practitioner Exam.
That's right, the AIFC01. And don't forget, you can grab the ebook companion for this on Google Play, Shopify, or the Jamie Tech website. The links are in the show notes for you.
Welcome to the deep dive. We take mountains of info and, well, boil it down to what you really need. Today, our mission is kind of like giving you a shortcut, demystifying this AWS certified AI practitioner exam.
Exactly. Think of it as the fast track to understanding what the certification is all about, what it covers, and, you know, if it's actually the right fit for you.
Okay, so if someone's listening and they want to sort of prove they understand AI, machine learning, and especially this newer stuff, generative AI, specifically within AWS, this is the cert.
This is definitely a key one to look at. We've dug through a pretty comprehensive guide, and we're basically here to pull out the absolute essentials for you.
All right, let's unpack it then. You mentioned it's an AWS certified AI practitioner. It's described as foundational. What does that mean in practice, you know, for someone thinking about taking it?
Good question. Foundational means it's roughly on the same level as the AWS Cloud Practitioner exam.
Okay. Familiar territory for some folks.
Right. But the big difference is Cloud Practitioner covers, like, everything AWS very broadly, this one. It drills right down, laser-focused on AI, machine learning, and, yeah, a big emphasis now on generative AI within that AWS context.
Got it. So it's about having that solid base understanding of AI on AWS.
Precisely. It proves you get the concepts and how they work inside the AWS world.
So it's not necessarily for the person who's, like, deep in the weeds building the algorithms day in, day out.
Exactly. It's not aimed at the hardcore data scientist building models from scratch.
Who is it for, then? Who's the ideal person?
Well, the guide we looked at really highlights people who use or interact with AI and ML solutions on AWS, but aren't the primary builders or deployers.
Okay, like who?
Think business analysts needing to understand AI's potential for projects, IT support folks managing the infrastructure these things run on, marketing teams using AI tools, product managers, project managers, even line of business managers or sales teams who need to talk intelligently about AI-powered features or services.
So quite a broad audience, actually.
Yeah, anyone who needs to be part of the conversation, ask smart questions, and just generally understand what's going on with AI within their AWS environment.
Right, understanding the lay of the land. What about background? Do you need, like, years of AI experience?
No, not at all. The recommendation is more like maybe 6 months of exposure. Specifically to AI and ML concepts within AWS.
Okay.
And, you know, being familiar with the basics of AWS itself helps.
Uh-huh.
Things like core services, the shared responsibility model for security, IAM, the global infrastructure, maybe a little bit about pricing. It's that intersection point.
Yeah. So foundational AWS knowledge plus that specific AML exposure on the platform.
Exactly.
Okay. So it's less about the deep math, more about how these technologies work on AWS and knowing which service to use when. What specifically does the exam test? What does it validate?
It validates your grasp of the fundamental concepts, the methods, the strategies behind AI, ML, and generative AI, both generally and crucially on AWS.
Okay.
It also checks if you can spot good use cases, if you know what questions to ask, and if you understand how to apply these technologies responsibly. That responsible AI piece is important, especially with generative AI and foundation models now.
Right. That makes sense.
The key thing, really, is you won't be asked to, like, code a neural network, but you absolutely need to know when you might use Amazon Recognition versus, say, Amazon Comprehend, and how these services fit into a solution.
Okay. And the exam itself, the nuts and bolts, format, time, questions.
Right. So you're looking at 65 questions total, but only 50 of those actually count towards your score. The other 15 are unscored kind of research questions for AWS.
Okay. And the question types?
Mostly multiple choice, where there's one best answer and multiple response, where you need to pick, say, two or three correct options. The official guide also mentions potential for ordering questions, matching, maybe even some short case studies.
And timing. Passing score.
You get 90 minutes for the whole thing.
Yeah.
The passing score is 700 out of a possible 1,000. And importantly, there's no penalty for guessing wrong.
Good to know. So always answer everything.
Definitely. Take your best shot. It's available in multiple languages, and you can take it either in a testing center or online, proctored.
90 minutes for 65 questions. Yeah. That's what? About a minute and 20 seconds per question. You need to keep moving.
Yeah, time management is definitely a factor.
You mentioned the cloud practitioner again. Just to be crystal clear, how does this AI practitioner really stack up against it?
The core difference is the focus. Cloud practitioner is super broad, covers the whole AWS cloud, but AML is just a tiny slice. The AI practitioner, it's all AML. Every question relates back to AI concepts, ML workflows, generative AI, and the AWS services specifically built for those tasks. And that generative AI part has definitely grown in importance recently.
Okay, that sets the scene perfectly. The guide breaks the exam into five main domains. Let's kick off with domain one, fundamentals of AI and ML. It's about 20% of the exam. What's key here?
Like, domain one is really your foundation. It's about understanding the basic language, the terminology. You know, what is machine learning? What's deep learning?
Yeah.
Natural language processing, or NLP.
Okay, the core definitions.
Yeah, and the difference between training a model and then using it for inference.
Mm-hmm.
What's an LLM, a large language model? And critically, being able to distinguish between AI as the broad field, ML as a subset, and deep learning as a subset of ML.
Got it. So the vocabulary and the hierarchy. What else?
It also covers the main types of machine learning. You've got supervised learning, learning from labeled data, unsupervised learning, finding patterns in unlabeled data, and reinforcement learning, learning through trial and error, rewards and penalties.
Right. Supervised, unsupervised, reinforcement.
Mm-hmm. And also understanding different ways to get predictions, like batch inference versus real-time inference, and just generally the types of data you feed into these models.
And I guess how you actually do machine learning, the process?
Absolutely. The machine learning development lifecycle is key. You need to know the steps.
Like problem framing.
Exactly.
Mm.
Starting with defining the problem clearly, then collecting data, preparing it that involves cleaning, maybe feature engineering. Then comes the training phase, tuning hyperparameters.
Hyperparameters.
Yeah, the settings that control the learning process. Then evaluating how well the model actually performs. After that, deploying it so it can be used, and finally monitoring it to make sure it keeps working well over time.
And on AWS, there are specific tools for each of those steps, right?
Precisely. You need to connect those lifecycle stages to the AWS services, like AWS Glue Databrew for data prep. And then Amazon SageMaker is huge here. It has tools like Data Wrangler for prep, automatic model tuning, endpoints for deployment, batch transform for batch predictions, model monitor for checking performance drift.
SageMaker seems pretty central.
It really is the main platform for ML on AWS.
What about MLOps? Is that covered?
Yes, the fundamentals of MLOps, basically the practices for managing the ML lifecycle efficiently in production are included.
Mm-hmm.
And also understanding the difference between, say, model accuracy, a technical metric, and the business metric you're trying to improve, like customer churn or sales.
Well, linking the tap to the business outcome. Important.
Very. It's about the bigger picture, not just the algorithm.
Does this domain also cover, like, knowing when AI is or isn't the right solution?
Yes, definitely. Identifying practical use cases where AI can genuinely help, but also recognizing situations where maybe a simpler approach or even no ML at all is better or more cost effective. Critical thinking.
Okay. And which specific AWS managed AI services should we know for this domain? The ones that do specific tasks?
Yeah, the pre-trained AI services, you absolutely need to know Amazon Recognition for vision tasks, image and video analysis.
Okay.
Amazon Comprehend for text analysis, understanding sentiment, extracting entities. Amazon Transcribe for speech to text. Amazon Poly for text to speech. Amazon Translate for, well, translation. And Amazon Lex for building chatbots and conversational interfaces.
So knowing what each of those does and a typical example of where you'd use it.
Exactly. The guide even has a useful diagram showing a typical ML workflow that helps visualize how these pieces fit together.
Cool. Okay, let's move to domain two. Fundamentals of generative AI. This is a bigger chunk, 24%, obviously a hot topic. What are the core concepts here?
Yeah, this domain jumps right into AI that creates new stuff, text, images, code. You need to get your head around the basics, things like tokens, the building blocks of text for these models.
Tokens, right.
Embeddings. Those are numerical representations that capture meaning. Transformer models, the underlying architecture for many big models like GPT, foundation models, or FMs, these huge pre-trained models, LLMs specifically for language, multimodal models that handle text and images, for instance, and diffusion models, often used for image generation.
Wow, okay, quite a few key terms there. Transformer, foundation model, LLM, multimodal, diffusion.
Yeah, knowing what they are is fundamental.
And how are these generative models used? What are the common applications?
You need to know the typical use cases. Generating text, obviously.
Yeah.
Generating images. Even generating code. Building much more sophisticated chatbots. Summarizing long documents automatically. Those are some big ones.
And is there a life cycle for these foundation models too, similar to traditional ML?
Yes, there is. It typically involves steps like selecting the right data, choosing a base model, the massive pre-training phase, then maybe fine-tuning it for specific tasks.
Fine-tuning.
Evaluating its performance rigorously, deploying it, and then having that feedback loop for continuous improvement.
Generative AI seems powerful, but I keep hearing about limitations too. What does the exam cover there?
Definitely need to know both sides. The advantages are huge adaptability, creativity, but the limitations are critical to understand too.
Like hallucinations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Models making things up but sounding confident. Also, potential inaccuracies, bias inherited from the training data, which can be a big problem, and honestly, the cost. Training and running these giant models can be expensive.
Right. So, weighing the pros and cons, what about choosing the right generative AI model for a job?
That's covered too. Knowing the factors that go into selecting an appropriate model, task suitability, accuracy needs, cost, practicalities, and figuring out the actual business value it brings.
And on AWS, what are the main services for generative AI we need to know?
Okay, key services here. Amazon SageMaker Jumpstart is important. It gives you access to lots of pre-trained models you can easily deploy and fine-tune.
Jumpstart, got it.
Then there's Amazon Bedrock. This is a really big one. It provides access to leading foundation models from various providers through a single API. Makes it much easier to experiment and use them. Bedrock also has tools like its Playground and Party Rock for trying things out.
Bedrock sounds central.
It is. And also Amazon Q, particularly how it integrates with QuickSight for natural language querying of business data.
And why use these AWS services specifically? What are the benefits?
The usual AWS advantages apply. Scalability, security, cost effectiveness, the pay-as-you-go model.
Mm-hmm.
But you also need to be aware of the cost trade-offs. Different foundation models accessed through Bedrock, for instance, can have very different price points depending on usage.
Right. Always got to watch the cost. Okay. Domain three now, applications of foundation models. This is the largest section, 28%. So really focusing on using these models, what's critical here?
Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road. A huge part is selecting the right pre-trained foundation model for your specific need.
How do you choose?
You need to consider several factors. Cost, obviously. What kind of data it handles, text, images, code. Latency, how fast does it respond? Does it need to handle multiple languages? How big is the model? And importantly, how much customization do you need?
Okay, lots to weigh up. Once you have a model, how do you control its output?
Understanding inference parameters is key. Like lower temperature means more predictable output, higher means more creative, maybe more random.
Ah, okay. Tuning the output style.
Exactly. And then you need to know the different ways to use and adapt these models.
Nice.
Well, you can use them straight out of the box. That's zero-shot prompting. You can give them a few examples in the prompt that's few-shot or in-context learning. You can go further and actually fine-tune the model on your own data.
Fine-tuning. That sounds more involved.
It is. Another really important technique is retrieval augmented generation, or a RAG.
RAG, right. Heard a lot about that.
Yeah. RG lets the model access external up-to-date information to improve its answers. And finally, using agents, like agents for Amazon Bedrock, which can take actions based on the model's output.
What are the trade-offs between, say, fine-tuning and ARG?
That's crucial. Fine-tuning can give you great performance on a very specific task, but it's complex and costly. You need curated data, significant compute for training.
Okay.
Or RAG, on the other hand, lets you inject your own proprietary current data, maybe from a company knowledge base, without retraining the whole model. Often much faster and cheaper to get started with relevant results.
Makes sense. Prompt engineering comes up a lot too. What do we need to know about crafting good prompts?
Yeah, prompt engineering is huge. You need to know the basic techniques. Zero shot, few shot like we mentioned. Chain of thought prompting, getting the model to explain its reasoning step by step. Using prompt templates for consistency. Best practices like being really specific, providing context. And also using guardrails to stop the model generating harmful or unwanted content.
Oh, and the risks too, things like prompt injection or jailbreaking.
Right, security around prompts.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned RAG again. How does that actually work with external data? What tech is involved?
Okay, for RAG, you need to understand embeddings and vector databases.
Vector databases, right.
So you take your documents, create numerical representations, embeddings that capture their meaning, and store them in a specialized vector database. When a user asks a question, you find the most relevant document embeddings in the database and feed those documents to the LLM along with the question.
So the LLM gets extra context.
Exactly. And you should know the AWS services you might use for storing those vectors, things like Amazon OpenSearch Service, Aurora PostgreSQL with the PG Vector extension, Neptune, DocumentDB RDS for PostgreSQL, several options there. The guide actually has a good diagram explaining the RAG flow.
Helpful. What about actually training or fine-tuning these big models? How deep do we need to go? You don't need to be an expert trainer, but you need to understand the process conceptually, especially data preparation, curating high-quality data, governance, maybe labeling if you're doing supervised fine-tuning, and understanding concepts like reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF, which helps align models with what humans want.
RLHF, okay. And how do we know if the model's any good? Evaluation.
Yes, evaluation is key. Knowing different methods, human evaluation is often the gold standard, but also using benchmark data sets. And being familiar with common metrics, especially for text like Rouge, BLEU, BERT score.
Rouge, BLEU.
Yeah, they measure overlap between the generated text and reference text. But crucially, always linking these technical metrics back to the actual business goals. Is the model actually achieving what you need it to achieve?
Makes sense. Okay, let's shift gears. Domain 4, Guidelines for Responsible AI, 14% of the exam. Super important topic. What's the focus here?
Yeah, absolutely critical. This domain is all about building and using AI fairly, transparently, and safely.
What are the key features of responsible AI?
Core principles include tackling bias in data and models, ensuring fairness across different groups, being inclusive, making sure models are robust and safe in operation, and aiming for truthfulness or veracity in their outputs. You should also know about tools like guardrails for Amazon Bedrock, which help enforce some of these principles.
How does this affect decisions we make earlier in the process, like choosing a model?
Responsible AI should be considered throughout. Even model selection, thinking about the environmental impact, the sustainability of training huge models, and identifying potential legal risks, like generating content that infringes copyright or models producing biased recommendations.
And what about the data itself? What makes a data set responsible?
You need data sets that are inclusive, diverse, and balanced, meaning they represent different groups fairly. The quality of data labels is also vital. You need to understand how bias and variance in data can lead to unfair or unreliable model outcomes.
Does AWS offer tools to help with this? Detecting bias, explainability?
Yes. Amazon's SageMaker Clarify is a key one. It helps detect bias in data and models before and after training, and it also provides feature important scores to help explain predictions.
Clarified, okay.
SageMaker Model Monitor helps detect drift changes in data or model predictions over time that might indicate fairness issues cropping up. Amazon Augmented AI, A2i, allows for human review of uncertain or sensitive predictions. And SageMaker model cards are for documenting model details transparently.
Transparency seems key. Understanding why a model made a decision.
Exactly. The push is towards explainable models, moving away from black boxes. Understanding human-centered design principles for making AI explanations useful and trustworthy is part of this domain too.
Okay, final domain. Domain 5. Security, compliance, and governance for AI solutions. Also 14%. What's covered here?
This brings it all together from a security and governance perspective. It's about securing the AI workloads themselves, managing sensitive data properly, and sticking to the rules, regulations, and internal policies.
What are the key security pillars?
Core AWS security concepts are essential. Identity and access management, IAM, controlling who can do what. Encryption, using services like AWS KMS for data at rest and in transit. And network isolation using VPCs and AWS Private Link to limit access.
What about protecting the data used by AI?
Tools like Amazon Macie for discovering sensitive data are relevant. Also, general application security best practices, but with an AI twist, like mitigating those prompt injection attacks we mentioned earlier.
Right. Secure data handling seems paramount.
Absolutely. Things like knowing where your training data came from, source citation, tracking data lineage, secure data engineering practices, input validation, secure storage, access control, ensuring data integrity, maybe using privacy-enhancing tech, and AI-specific security like threat detection using Amazon GuardDuty or vulnerability management with Amazon Inspector.
And the compliance and governance side.
It's about awareness of relevant standards, ISO, SOC reports, understanding the need for algorithm accountability, and knowing the AWS services that help with governance. AWS Config, Inspector again, AWS Audit Manager for simplifying audits, AWS Artifact for getting compliance reports, CloudTrail for logging API calls, and Trusted Advisor for best practice checks.
So tying it all together with process and policy.
Exactly. Understanding data governance strategies like lifecycle policies, data residency rules, logging, and retention. And knowing the processes for enforcing governance, having clear policies, regular reviews, using frameworks like the Generative AI Security Scoping Matrix, being transparent, and training your teams.
Wow, that's a comprehensive look at the five domains. Okay, so pulling back a bit, what are the absolute top tips or resources the guide mentioned for actually preparing?
Okay, key strategies boil down. One, really understand the core concepts across all domains. Don't just memorize terms. Two, get familiar with the relevant AWS services, know what they do and when to use them. Three, practice, practice, practice with exam-style questions.
You mentioned categorizing services earlier. Can you quickly recap those categories and the big names again? It seems helpful.
Yeah, it's a good way to organize them. So, machine learning platform, think Amazon SageMaker Studio, training, deployment, Bash Transform, Autopilot, pipelines, feature store, model registry, clarify, monitor, model cards. It's the big one.
SageMaker Central. Got it.
Then AI services for specific tasks. Recognition, vision, Textract, docs, Poly speech, translate, comprehend text, transcribe speech, Lex chatbots, Kendra, search, forecast, personalize, fraud detector.
Okay, the pre-built services.
Generative AI, Amazon Bedrock, PartyWalk, Code Whisperer, QuixIQ.
A new hotness.
Dating storage, S3, Lake Formation, Glue, DataBrew, Glue itself.
Data foundations.
Security and governance. IAM, KMS, VPC, PrivateLink, CloudTrail, Config, Inspector, CloudWatch, Audit Manager, Artifact, Trusted Advisor.
Standard security tools.
And responsible AI. SageMaker, Clarify, A2i, Model Monitor, Model Cards. Making flashcards or table grouping these can really help cement them in your mind.
Good tip. Where should people go for study materials, official AWS stuff first?
Definitely prioritize official AWS resources. The AWS Skill Builder platform has a specific exam prep course. There's a free digital plan. Get the official exam guide. Use it like a checklist.
Okay.
Read relevant AWS white papers, especially the ML Lens, and follow the AWS blogs on generative AI and dive into the actual service documentation for SageMaker and Bedrock. That's the source of truth. The exam uses AWS terminology, so stick close to their materials.
What about getting hands-on? Is that important even for a foundational cert?
It definitely helps reinforce the concepts. The AWS free tier lets you play with SageMaker Studio, Recognition, Comprehend without spending much.
Good.
And PartyRock for Bedrock is fantastic. No AWS account needed, just jump in and build things. If you can access AWS Jam or Builder Labs, even better for guided practice.
And practice questions. You mentioned Tutorials Dojo, Stefan Marek.
Yes. Practice questions are vital. The official AWS set on Skill Builder is a must. Then third-party ones. Tutorials Dojo, John Bonzo's exams are highly rated, Stefan Marek on Udemy, many find these very close to the real thing. Wiz Labs is another option.
But avoid exam dumps.
Absolutely. They're unreliable and you don't actually learn. Focus on understanding why answers are right or wrong when you review practice tests. And practice your timing about 1 minute 20 seconds per question average.
Any last minute tips for exam day itself?
Read carefully, watch for keywords. Manage your time flag hard questions. Come back later. Eliminate wrong answers. Guess if you have to, no penalty. Check you've selected the right number for multi-select. And try to relax. You prepared for this.
The guide mentioned insights from Reddit Raw certifications. What did successful candidates emphasize there?
Yeah, some common themes popped up. A big one was the heavy focus on generative AI bedrock. Prompting, RAI, fine-tuning trade-offs were mentioned a lot.
Makes sense. It's the newest area.
For resources, Skill Builder, Marek, Tutorials Dojo came up constantly. Some even said Tutorials Dojo questions felt very similar to the real exam. Andrew Brown's FreeCodeCamp video got shout-outs too.
What about prior experience? Did that help?
Yeah, people with Cloud Practitioner or Solutions Architect certs or just some hands-on time with Bedrock or SageMaker felt it gave them a head start.
And difficulty. How hard did they find it?
Generally moderate. Easier than AWS associate exams, maybe a bit tougher than Cloud Practitioner, especially with the new GenAI focus. Time management was stressed. Questions can be wordy, so practice helps. Key areas repeated, GenAI, ML fundamentals, core AI services, responsible AI, security.
Sounds like a solid consensus. The sample questions in the guide, did they reflect this focus?
They did. They gave a good flavor of the scenario-based questions, asking you to choose the best service or approach for a given problem across all those domains we discussed. Definitely worth reviewing samples to get used to the style.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, what are the absolute must-dos for someone wanting to pass this AWS AI practitioner exam?
All right, key takeaways. get a solid grasp of the breadth of AWS AML services and ERE, the core concepts of both traditional ML and generative AI. Really focus on generative AI foundation models, bedrock, prompts, but don't skip the ML basics.
Right.
Use a mix of official AWS resources, get hands-on where you can, and hammer those reputable practice exams. Practice scenario questions relentlessly. That's really the path.
Fantastic advice. All right, one final thought for you, our listener, to chew on as you dive into your prep. With AI, especially generative AI on AWS, evolving so incredibly fast, how might the role of someone holding this AI practitioner certification change in the next few years? What ongoing skills will be most vital to keep sharp in this dynamic field?
That's a great question to ponder. The landscape is definitely shifting quickly.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck with your exam preparation. Remember to check the show notes for links to the official AWS certification page and those study resources we mentioned.